Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And Meghna, let's share a little wisdom from the late, great New York Yankees catcher Yogi Berra, who died yesterday at the age of 90.
Okay,
we're going to talk about what a great ball player he was in a moment, but first let's recall some of those many wonderfully wise and funny maxims that have been attributed to him.
And there are so many, but here's a favorite. Describing his strategy as a manager, you can observe a lot just by watching.
So true.
So smart.
So profound. It sounds positively Buddhist. Here's my favorite. When you come to a fork in the road, take it.
And let's not forget what he said about a popular restaurant. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
Hey, all right, such wisdom. And speaking of wisdom, let's say hello to Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. He joins us every Wednesday to talk about sports. And Bill, you must have a couple of favorite yogiisms.
I have a particular favorite, which I'm not sure is even a yogiism. When he first came up to the major leagues, one of his teammates said, "Geez, you're an ugly little guy." And Yogi said, "Yeah, it's a good thing I don't hit with my face."
That's great. Okay. And he supposedly gave this advice to a young player trying to emulate slugger Frank Robinson. If you can't imitate him, don't copy him.
That's excellent advice for journalists everywhere. They should pay attention to that.
I suppose eventually we'll actually talk about baseball, but we do have to say that Yogi Berra did say a lot of these things, and he's been credited for some lines, though, that he didn't actually say. I think, Bill, he wrote a book entitled The Yogi Berra Book, I Really Didn't Say Everything I Said.
I know. It's perfect. His son, Yogi and his son, went around marketing the book, and that was when I got a chance to talk to him for a little bit. But, you know, we shouldn't forget, the guy was a great baseball player. He had a 19-year career. He had three MVP awards, and this is at the same time that Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays and guys like that were playing, of course, in two different leagues. He managed the Yankees. He managed the Mets. He was in, God knows, 14 World Series, something like that, as a player, won 10 of them, literally had too many rings to be able to wear all at the same time. So just a spectacular player.
Yeah, here's a fact that I read. As a player, coach, and manager, 21 World Series. He was in 21.
Right, as a player only, yeah, in 14.
It's amazing.
Yeah, exceptional. And you know, never would be somebody who would make a big deal of it himself.
Wow. Well, Bill, you actually talked to Yogi Berra, right, in 1998?
Yes. As I said, he was very modest about his achievements on the ball field, and also, I think, very modest about his achievements as an inventor of language.
We could be sitting at the table, you know, at home with the kids and having dinner, and one of them pop up and say, "Dad, you said another one." I didn't even know what I said, to tell you the truth.
Well, that's really a good thing there was somebody to record them in that case.
I know, they wrote down. My wife, she's probably got 150 of them. That's not in the book. She knows a lot of them.
That's really funny.
Okay, well, as much as I want to keep talking about Yogi Berra, we maybe have to talk about a team that has been in the World Series, but not enough, the oh-so-lowly Red Sox. And Anthony opened my eyes to something this morning, that for a brief moment this week, they managed to climb out of last place.
Yeah, it's very good that Anthony opened your eyes to that.
Because you can't blink.
That was the problem.
Right.
She blinked.
That was the problem.
And when she refocused, they were back in last place.
Right. Yeah, it was very heady there for a while, and they didn't much enjoy it, so they lost and went back to last place where the air wasn't quite so thin. It's been a kind of a wretched season all
so
around.
So it's been a wretched season, but a lot of folks have been talking about some of these young players, among them Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts, who have emerged as really great and exciting players with some amazing statistics. Does this give the team something to hope for, to build on for next season?
Well, of course. If there weren't something there to build on and hope about, then people would stop rooting for baseball teams from coast to coast. But you're right, absolutely. Some of the younger players have done a great job. And in fact, if you go onto the internet, you can find articles now that will tell you that next year's Red Sox will be this year's Cubs. And that doesn't really sound as bad as it might seem to sound, because the Cubs are going to be in the playoffs this year. And you know, this may be a team that has turned the corner, and if some of these kids continue to play well over a stretch of time, under the kind of pressure that comes to teams when they are actually in contention, which is a kind of pressure the Red Sox have not faced this year, yeah, we may have something to look forward to.
So it's been a rebuilding year.
Well, in retrospect, you know, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the year, all the articles are about optimism.
Yeah.
You know, how the Red Sox have every reason to think that they're going to stop finishing last again. And that's natural. That's the way the calendar works, and that's the way baseball works, and that's the way we think about it and why we keep paying attention. But I don't want to downplay at all what you're saying, Anthony. There's some very fine young players on this team, and if they pick up some pitching somewhere along the line, or some of the pitchers who are still young and inconsistent develop a little more consistency, there's no reason to think that they might not be fun to watch next
Although,
year.
Although, Bill, I think I heard you say if, maybe, and might about 75 times in
We're
those
talking
answers.
About sports. It's a world of if, maybe, and might.
Magna, I heard him say, rev up the duck boats, get them ready.
Let's quote Yogi Berra again.
And then it'll
it
just
ain't
be a
over
question
till it's
of,
over.
It'll just be a question of which winning Red Sox player actually buys a duck boat to take home, which is a tradition that we've seen of late.
Well, let's talk about a team that is winning. The New England Patriots, strong start to the season. Deflategate, Spygate, maybe it's all in the past until the next gate. But they're now 2-0 after last weekend's win over the Buffalo Bills. And Tom Brady's looking very, very strong. So is this a Pat's redemption tour?
I hate the word redemption when it's applied to sports. You know, redemption is something that happens when you come out the other end of an addiction or, you know, do something else dramatic. The question that I have is, does Tom Brady even remember what happened over the off season when he was dragged through all of this stuff and his cell phone became a piece of evidence and the commissioner laid all these charges on him that, you know, later were dismissed entirely. It doesn't look like he does. It looks like he's just playing great football.
All right. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs on WBUR every Saturday morning at 7 and again at 7 in the evening. Bill, thank you.
Great pleasure, Anthony. Thank you.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.